questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Our question today is a very important one, and inshallah by answering this we will put a lot of doubts to rest, and also inshallah we will help our Shia brothers understand some few points about this question. The question, it is as follows: Sunni Muslims do not believe in one of the fundamental principles of Islam, which is the imamate, of course, in our viewpoint. Why do we then consider them Muslims when they do not believe in one of the tenets of Islam? It's just like believing that Allah, He is not one, is it not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Technically speaking, what is taken from the verses and the narrations, and it is explained by the Shia scholars, is that we have two terms here. We have the we have usul al-din, which are the fundamentals of the religions, and then we have usul al-madhab, the beliefs related to the like denominations and Islamic sect. So according to the Shia scholars, what constitute usul al-din are three: to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only God, to believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family as the last prophet, and to believe in the resurrection day. So these are what we call it usul al-din. And as far as I know, all Shia scholars believe that for any person to be considered as a Muslim, of course I will talk about the term Muslim, it is enough for him or her to believe in these three fundamental beliefs: to believe in God and Prophet and the Day of Judgment. And that is why almost all Muslims, excluding some, Wahhabis and Salafis, they believe that whoever testifies that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet is the messenger of Allah, and of course they also would believe in the Day of Judgment because of the verses of the Quran, they are considered as a Muslim based on fiqh and jurisprudence. I will talk about that later. So from this perspective, we cannot claim that imamate is one of the fundamentals and basic beliefs of the religion of Islam, which if we believe so, it requires that if no one believes in that, he or she is not a Muslim. No, this is not the viewpoint of the Shia scholars. But then we come to the usul al-madhab, which means that what makes a person to be a Shia. And now one of the beliefs as one of the asas and principles of usul al-madhab is imamate and also adl, or justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And from this perspective, if a person wants to be Shia, then he needs to believe in the concept of imamate as viewed by the Shia. So this is the first point. And for that, let me share with you and the dear listeners a couple of the Shia scholars' explicit statements in this regard.
Please do.
For example, Sayyid Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin, the great Shia scholar of theology, in his famous book Al-Fusul al-Muhimma fi Ta'lif al-Ummah, he says the following. He mentions that, according to us, all the people who believe in God, in Allah as the only God, and the Prophet, all of them, they are considered as Muslim. So for sure, our Sunni brothers, they are Muslim, and there is no doubt about that. وَهَذَا فِي غَايَةِ الْوُضُوحِ مِنْ مَذْهَبِنَا لَا يَرْتَابُ فِيهِ ذُو اعْتِدَالٍ مِنَّا. It is very crystal clear, based on the Shia school of thought, that the Sunnis are also Muslim, and no one has cast any doubt regarding this.
Right.
Quoting some of the contemporary, more contemporary Shia scholars, I may refer to Ayatollah Khoi, rahmatullah alayhi, in his At-Tanqih fi Sharh Urwat al-Wuthqa, volume 9, page 93, he says that Ahl Sunnah, they are Muslim, they are mahkuma mit tahara, they are pure. And all the effects that are there for being a Muslim, are for Sunnis as well. So for example,
the rules of jurisprudence. Right.
So for example, talking about the fact that, when it comes to eating and drinking and so on, and buying and selling with Muslims, from all these points in Islamic jurisprudence, Muslims for sure are Sunnis for sure are considered as Muslims. And the great Shia scholar Muhaqqiq Ardabili says that it is very, he says that the Sunnis are Muslims as long as they do not reject one of the daruriyat, one of the fundamentals of the religion, like a nasb. I need to explain this point. We have a concept which is known in Islamic jurisprudence, especially the Shia one, as the concept of nasb, or being nasibi. Being nasibi means to be an enemy toward the Ahlul Bayt,
the household of the Prophet.
Exactly. According to the Shia scholars and to the Shia school of thought, if a person is an enemy to the Ahlul Bayt, he may use bad words against them, and then he is not a Muslim at all. He is not pure, he is not, religiously speaking, a Muslim, not at all. It is as if he is a disbeliever in terms of being impure and so on and so forth. So for Nasibis, we are not,
we do not consider them Muslims.
At all. So this is the viewpoint of the Shia scholars. But I do not think that we can find many such people among Muslims. Almost all Muslims, they respect the family of the Prophet.
Right.
And hardly we find among Muslims a person who claims that he is the follower of the Prophet,
and then hate his family.
It doesn't. Right. It may not happen, but if it happens, and of course we have some examples.
Is he really a follower of the Prophet?
Yeah, he's not anymore.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Right. So we have had some examples in the history
of
Islam, and that is why we have this term Nasibi. For Nasibis, for sure, they are not Muslim. And
recently.
Some of them. So I'm not going to mention the viewpoints of other Shia scholars. So it is very clear from, the viewpoints of Shia scholars that the Sunnis are Muslim, religiously speaking, based on Islamic jurisprudence. As long as they do not hate the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, they are not
and
the
wage
enemies.
War against them.
Yeah. So
right.
From that perspective, all of them are Muslim. Now, the next point is that what we called so far is about the concept of Islam based on jurisprudence and fiqh. Then doesn't mean that all Muslims are in the same level. The answer based on the Quran is that no. We have different ranks, we have different levels and stages when it comes to both Islam and Iman, also faith.
Right.
The same is true about the Shia as well. So as Shia is a person who believes in the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the other
commonly
Imam,
in our Uruf, But to be precise, as we all know, Shia, proper Shia, also stages.
Exactly. So does it mean that all the people who follow the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt,
they are Shia?
Are Shia based on jurisprudence and theology, but are they in the same level? No, we have many ranks, and we take it from the Noble Book of Quran. Like, for example, in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَالَتْ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. The Bedouin Arabs, some of them, they claim that we are faithful, we are mu'min.
One of the tribes came to the Prophet and without war, because the other tribes, they had waged war against the Prophet, and after defeat, they submitted to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But they came and they said, look, O Prophet, we came without war, without anything, just to submit to you. And that's the story of this
and the Holy Prophet, according to this verse, told them that no, you just can't claim that we are Muslim, but you cannot claim that we are mu'min.
Right.
Now, this is one point. So these Bedouin Arabs, according to this verse, can call themselves Muslim, but not mu'min. At the same time, in the Noble Book of Quran, a great prophet like Ibrahim calls himself Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad is called Muslim in the Noble Book of Quran, peace be upon him and his family. Doesn't mean that, na'udhu billah, Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad, and these Bedouin Arabs, all of them are Muslim and they are in the same level? Of course not. What we get from the Noble Book of Quran is that Islam, the concept of Islam and the concept of Muslim, even itself, let's forget about Iman, Muslim has so many different ranks and levels.
Right.
So a prophet like Prophet Ibrahim may call himself a Muslim. Our prophet may call him Muslim, may call himself Muslims. Those Bedouin Arabs, na'udhu billah, those people like Abu Sufyan after the conquest of Mecca, they also called themselves Muslim. And the prophet accepted their Islam. But does it mean that they are like Salman, Abu Dhar, I mean, and so on and so forth?
Of course not. Right.
So my point is that I'm not talking about Shia and Sunni. Generally speaking,
Islam
and Iman, we have different ranks, levels, and stages based on your beliefs and your actions.
Right.
I don't have time, but otherwise I wanted to talk about different 7 to 8 stages as mentioned by, for example, Allama Tabatabai, different ranks for Islam and Iman.
Right.
So not all the people are in the same level, not all the people are in the same stage, level of Iman and Islam. But when we are talking about theology and jurisprudence, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet of
the Shahadatain,
he is considered as a Muslim, be it a great companion of the Prophet like Salman, or those people who just seemingly embrace the religion of Islam like after the conquest of Mecca. At the end of the day, they testified to the oneness of Allah and the fact that the Prophet is the last Prophet. So based on jurisprudence, Islamic jurisprudence, they are Muslim, like they are pure.
Right.
And they are not considered as disbelievers. But does it require that all of them are in the same level? No. So for Shia, for Sunnis, all of us are Muslim. The Shia are considered as mu'min according to the narrations. But it doesn't mean that all the people are in the same level. We need to check our beliefs and our actions.
Sheikh, one final short question. Should we investigate whenever, for example, a seemingly non-Muslim person, he comes to us and he says, I am a Muslim, and he has said the Shahadatain, and he says it again so you can hear it. Should we investigate? Should we just take it at face value and consider him a Muslim, even though he drinks and does all of these misdeeds that are not Islamic?
Should we investigate if he believes? Explicit verse in the Quran says that you are not allowed to, some people come to you and say that we are Muslims. You are not allowed to say that, no, you are not Muslim, and we need to investigate and so on and so forth. We have a verse regarding this in the Noble Book of Quran. But then, in practically speaking, in Muslim communities, we should not fool ourselves. So, yes, we accept their Islam, but doesn't mean that there is no possibility of them just pretending to be Muslim.
Right.
We may do some later precautionary actions to find the reality, but we are not allowed to reject them as new Muslims.
So in essence, be prudent.
Yeah.
And with that, we will end today's session because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge. It has been very beneficial, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن